This is Sunday morning, January 5th, 2020. The Prophet's Corner Uncut. The title of this is What God Said Is Real. Genesis 1. God said, light be. God said. Goes through the creation of the earth. God set it down in His Word so that all mankind could plainly see how He likes things. Romans 1:16 starts with Paul saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And he begins to talk about a world out of order. It begins to show the signs of the times, a world out of order. And it goes into detail about they worship the creature over the creator. How they, men and women, or men burn for lust with one another and women with women. This is a... And it says, they're without excuse because God, through creation, has plainly shown them the truth. They are reprobate. Mm-hmm. Reprobates. Along came Satan to Eve to introduce to her another way. The way that questions God. It swayed her mind to extra things. You know, the things God didn't say, as if God held out on her vital information that she needed to know. That's what He does. God said. I mean, He said. Nothing to add to it. Nothing to take away from it. But He comes to say, well, have He really said? Or get you to question Him. I have noticed this about the Lord. He gives out on a need-to-know basis. That's faith, right? Need to know basis. That's faith, right? He gives you His Word and then He expects you to believe it regardless of what you perceive with your senses. This is what happened with Eve. Paul the Apostle had this perception about the church. This is 2 Corinthians 11:3. I'll flip there right quick. It's like the centurion came to Jesus. He said, just speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. God said it, and it was so. It happened. We want to know all there is to know, but God gives us a seed. Now listen to this. We want to know all there is to know about everything, but God gives us a seed. Now you see how the devil seduces people. They get off of the seed of God's word and get into the extra stuff. Well, I have inside information. That's what happened in Genesis. That's what happened in Genesis 6 when those angels came and mated with earth women. They had extra knowledge. They taught them about the cutting of roots and all this black magic and all this stuff, the beginning of the medical field. Then they taught them how to make weapons and do war. This wasn't the beginning of God's plan. It just advanced on from there. All right, let's read Mark 4. Now get this, God gives us a seed, a scripture, a promise, or whatever. Something He's already done. He said in His Word that we can use as a seed. When you plant that seed, you get what that Word says. If it's by His stripes ye were healed, you plant the seed, it becomes by His stripes you're healed. All right, this is 4:3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Came to pass as he sowed. Some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 60, some 30, some 60, some, and 100. Verse 14 says, the sower sows the word. Well, let me read 13 because this scripture right here, it says, and Jesus said unto them, know ye not this parable, and how then will ye know all parables? So if you can understand this concept, he says you can open up all the parables in the Bible because of it. It says, the sower soweth the word. That's you. That's your promise. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. When they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, then taketh the word that was sown in their hearts. That day in the garden when he said, hath God said? That's when he stole the word out of Eve. That's when she fell. That's when she was seduced and caused the fall. She didn't take God's word for what it said. All right. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when conflict or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. So this little seed that we'll create, Satan comes to take it and sabotage it, and it shows conditions. Right here, this one, affliction, persecution, and they became offended. So they let go of the seed. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word and the cares of this world. Well, you know, I'm still having these symptoms, and I'm just, oh my God, what am I going to do? The cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and becometh unfruitful. All God ever gives you is a seed. But it'll produce the results. Satan comes. Weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every thought. Every thought. That's what I see in the parable of the sower. They're having thoughts. And these thoughts are causing them to let go of the word. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. They went through the same thing the others did, but they didn't let go of the word. They're thinking, shake, shake. I know what God's word says, and his word does not return void, not ever. And when it is sent forth, Isaiah 55:11, it produces. God's seed produces. Why do you think the devil's come after it so hard? All right. So what is the result of all of this? What is our course of action? Verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. He doesn't know how it works. He just knows God's word doesn't return void. It accomplishes the purpose whereto it's sent. It causes the thorn bush to become a myrtle tree. He should sleep and rise day and night, and the seed should spring and grow up, knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth of herself. It's impossible. If you don't let the devil talk you out of it, once that seed is planted, it's impossible for it not to come forth. It's impossible. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. When the fruit is brought forth immediately, it puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. So this man is resting. Some of the fastest answers that I've ever gotten were ones that I just prayed a prayer. Every once in a while I'd say, well, thank you, Lord, that's done. Didn't give it any thought. And boom, there it was. I didn't toil and spin over it and go back and forth and agonize over it and all of that. Am I making sense here today? Reasoning through the senses. If you have crop fear, there's a human reason for it. Just as Eve was seduced, so have you been. Genesis 3. It's where she was seduced. Think about Abraham. He took it into his own hands to have the baby, the Egyptian woman. Well, you know, we still don't have a baby. God gave us a promise, and 10 years have passed, and we see nothing. So Sarah had a bright idea. Well, why don't you just take my Egyptian handmaid and have a baby through her? That must be how God's going to do it. Well, after that, the Lord didn't speak to Abraham for like 15 years, 13 years, something like that. Until the angel showed up, and Jesus and the two angels, and he says, this time next year, Sarah will have a son. And Sarah laughs. Aren't we the same sometimes? Well, I don't know how in the world this is possible. Lord, how are you going to do this? It just sounds like I'm going to do it. Well, plant your seed. That's how it's going to happen. Plant your seed. Satan comes with enlightenment. All this stuff that glitters but isn't gold. We all know that the works of the flesh equal death, but walking in the Spirit equal life. This is Galatians 5, 16 through 23. Talks about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. James calls this wavering. Elijah called it two opinions. James talks about when the trial comes, count it all joy. If you need wisdom, ask God. But you got to ask in faith, not be double-minded. So God plainly says the devil adds to that. Whatever his word says, the devil tries to add to. He's trying to trick you out of it. This is how he has overrun everything in our culture. The only way out is to go back to God's word. This is the renewing of the mind process. We have taken God's word and allowed Satan to come in and add to it and convince us that it is God, like the medical system and healthcare is just one of them, to name it. Another is God's financial system of sowing and reaping. Yet you see on television and internet preachers begging for money. They spend more time on begging for money than they bring the gospel. They think they have to sell what has freely been given to them by God to keep them afloat. God's way has never been, you know, well, I got a ministry and I've got to, you know, got to get them fundraisers going or I'm not going to be able to make it. Really? Then I'd say, I think you ought to quit. That's just the way I feel about it. Mark 7, 13. Making the word of God of non-effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered in many such like things, do ye. This is why the leaders in his day had no power. Their traditions. See, that's what's happened in the church. We've adapted the world's systems into the church, and we've said it is God. And when you bring a message like this, they probably are ready to run you out of town because they're so dependent on the system. I would say that most of the church and all of the world are dependent on the government to take care of us. It's obvious. Look at what is happening. Big government is trying to fully take over the world. It is called globalism. The beast system. Universal health care, universal salary, etc. Here is that extra stuff that God didn't say that Satan sold to our world. I saw a deal yesterday, I don't remember who it was, but it was talking about, I think it was Black Conservative Patriot, he was talking about, just statistically speaking, from a world viewpoint, that globalism is failing. It's no longer, it used to be coming fast and trying to overtake. Now it's backing off and starting to wane. Nations of the world are seeing what the president's doing and they want that. Instead of buying it hook, line, and sinker. What people don't understand is the United States kind of sets the precedence for the rest of the world. We have been convinced that we need all this governmental help to survive. All right, we're going to look at the trek out. The trek out. Not Star Trek, but the trek out. Psalms 105:37. before they started their trek out, they had communion. Then they went to their Egyptian neighbors, and it said they stripped them of all their silver and their gold and all their stuff. Back wages. Mm-hmm. Psalms 105:37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not a weak or not one feeble person among their tribes. Now you're looking at a slave race that are probably broken bodies. A lot of infirm. And they didn't get wages. So they come out rich and well. That's the trek out. Rich and well. We're coming out of the movie and television propaganda, drugs, government dependence, into full Father's house provision. In their trek out, God fed them with manna. I believe this is symbolic of the renewing of the mind process. It is our official act of worship. Yield our old way to God's way. You know, they got tired of the manna. We can't stand this manna anymore. I get very frustrated with people at times because they don't have time to read God's word and renew their minds. But they have the time to go to the doctor, wait to be seen for hours sometimes, do exactly what the doctor tells them to do. Second. Even set their cell phones alarms to make sure they take their medication on time. But at the end of the day, they haven't even cracked their Bible. They ask you to pray for them as they go on their merry way. If God isn't as fast as taking a pill, they just move on. If they don't get an answer in prayer, or they can't get the 47 prayer lines they've already called and asked to pray to get the answer, we're going to go to the system. It's just so hard to be a Christian, they say. They mean God is a genie in a bottle, and if he doesn't come instantly, then forget about it. They will wait for the doctor's office or pharmacy for hours, but not on God. Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. When are we going to believe the word of the Lord and quit all of this silliness? It's silliness. The doctor's word will not always pan out, but God's word never returns void. Once it is planted, it produces. Isaiah 55:11. A renewed mind doesn't let whatever seems to be the matter sway them. Do I need to read any more of this over again? Hope you got it, because there's some words from heaven on this sheet of paper right here. I'm going to read some more of it. I have noticed this about the Lord. He gives out on a need-to-know basis. That's faith, right? He gives you his word and he expects you to believe it regardless of what you perceive with your senses. This is what happened to Eve. Paul the Apostle had this perception about the church, that they would let the devil also do the same thing to them that the devil did to Eve. We want to know about everything. We want to tell him how to do it, when to do it. He just says, plant your seed, go to bed, get up, walk by faith, not your senses. Okay.